We are continuing to wind down our study of the book of Acts, verse by verse. Today we're in chapter 28, and we are picking up with verse 17. It says, 3 days later, Paul called together the local Jewish leaders, and when they had assembled, Paul said to them, "My brothers, although I have done nothing against our people or against the customs of our ancestors, I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans." Well, Paul has finally arrived safely in Rome, just as Jesus told him that he would. And now, having been given living quarters apart from the other prisoners, Paul immediately gets to work. Just 3 days later, he calls for the primary Jewish leaders to meet with him at his quarters. According to history sources, Rome had anywhere from 7 to 12 synagogues. So this is not surprising, since Rome had a population of at least 2 million and a very large contingent of Jews. Now, each of these synagogues would have both rulers and important people. John MacArthur notes there were also wealthy trade merchants and other people who were an unofficial character in the city of Rome, who were, of course, Jewish. So Paul calls for these Jewish leaders to meet with him. There were certainly a number of other places, including city synagogues, where they could have met, but getting permission to travel may have been prohibitive. So this story ends with Paul repeating a familiar pattern. We might think that his first goal would be to meet with the Christians in the city. They are, of course, very acquainted with Paul's ministry. He planned to visit them many times, finally settling for sending them a letter instead. But Paul sticks to his very well-known pattern. He will meet with the Jewish leaders first and go from there. As John MacArthur notes, he always went to the Jews because if he went to the Gentiles first, he couldn't go to the Jews because he would have alienated himself from them. Paul, as I note, is consistent if he is anything else. And when they were all gathered, Paul quickly introduces himself and begins to summarize why he is in Rome, especially under guard. Once again, Paul mounts a defense. This has become routine for him. Immediately, he stresses his innocence. He tells them that he hasn't done anything against his people or against the customs of the ancestors. Of course, these were the very things that Paul was accused of doing by the temple Jews. They tagged him with being anti-law and anti-temple, two very onerous claims. I want to notice that Paul does not name his Jerusalem opponents. He simply says, "I was delivered into the hands of the Romans." John Stott writes, "It was a very mild way of describing how he was rescued by Roman soldiers from a mob that was trying to beat him to death." Paul is obviously not naming the Jewish culprits because he doesn't want to immediately turn these Jewish leaders against him. And now Paul launches into his defense in verse 18. He says, "They examined me and wanted to release me because I was not guilty of any crime deserving death. The Jews objected, so I was compelled to make an appeal to Caesar. I certainly did not intend to bring any charge against my own people, and for this reason I have asked to see and talk with you. It is because of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain." So Paul begins his defense there at Rome. We'll see more of this next time on Verse by Verse.